Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're just trying to build your own math equation that work for your business.
Yeah.
But if you don't understand the variables, you don't understand the numbers associated with that equation as it relates to your business, how are you going to put ads in the mix to make the equation work? You see what I mean? Yeah. So that's the thing I think people don't do. So some people understand that in order for their business to grow, they got to be willing to take risks.
Yeah.
And the thing about ads for me that I want to change people's mindset around is you're not losing money when you're buying ads and they don't work. You're buying data to figure out what don't work so that you don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then the more you test, eventually you'll find something that works and then you do more of it. So it's really a learning exercise of buying ads. A lot of people, they want to put the money in the ad. If it ain't working out the gate, it's like ads. You know, sometimes you need external validation, nice, which I wasn't looking for these. Yeah. Now I wasn't chasing that.
Yeah.
They found me. I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
But in the midst of that, you know, you accept the external validation.
Yeah.
And then that allows you to put more value on yourself.
Yeah.
Hey, wait. I know you want to watch this next video, but listen, if you are an entrepreneur, business coach, business consultant, or a small business owner who has a story and wants to learn how to create multiple streams of income from your story, I need you to text me right now, my book, to 646-687-4152. That is my personal number. I have been an author for over 12 years. I've written 10 books. Four of them have been bestsellers, and I've sold over 100,000 books. But I've also helped a lot of my clients take their expertise and put it into a story, then create multiple streams of income from that. So I want to help you do the same thing. So text my book to 646-687-4152. All right, let's go back to the video. All right, so welcome to another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Listen, I got a legend in the building. Did you know that paid YouTube ads are 84% more likely to receive viewers' attention than TV ads? And with more than 2 billion users logging into YouTube every single month and over 7 billion hours of video watch each week, YouTube ads have huge potential for brands looking for exposure. Well, our next guest is a legend and has spent and consulted on over $120 million across all digital advertising platforms that resulted in over $550 million in revenue. Realizing video would be the wave of the future, he started buying ads on YouTube in 2012, and by 2014, he had spent his first million on the YouTube ads alone. Co-founder of the Next Level Ambition and known to many as Tommy Traffic, welcome the living legend, Tommy Powers. What's up, brother? What's going on, man?
Man, that's a crazy intro.
Yo,
I love it. Yo, I love the energy.
Let me tell you how organic this interview is, and how I'm excited, and I hope people pay attention. I hope people share this. I hope people understand you know, the power that you have, pun intended. Because we both work with a mutual friend.
Yep.
Salute to Julian Gordon. And he had sent me a script. We're working on a project together. He sent me a script, and he's like, "Yo, you know, I need you to do this." He's like, "Yo, I got Tommy coming over," and I didn't know, you know, like I didn't know what Tommy he was talking about. Right. You know what I'm saying? And so we're ready to shoot, and then you walk in,
yeah.
And I'm like, "Yo, that's the Tommy Powers dude,"
yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and so so I had heard about you because if you're in this entrepreneurship space. And you're looking to not like no baby entrepreneurs. I'm talking about like if you really, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like baby entrepreneurs really? Who just like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
They got the LLC. But nah, I'm talking about like if you get to that space where you really moving and shaking, like you making six figures, you making seven figures, you know who's who. You know who's moving the needle.
And
it's a small percent. And so when I saw you, I was like, nah, that's Tommy Powers.
Yeah.
And it clicked. And I said, oh, it makes sense. And, you know, for me, just kind of being in this space and knowing, like, you are the GOAT in YouTube ads.
Yeah,
like I don't know.
I don't call myself that, by the way.
Right. And, like, I don't know another. And it's not nothing to do with color either. I'm talking about across all spectrums. I don't know another person who understands the YouTube ads game like you do. And so when I saw, I was like, bro, you got time, you know what I'm saying? And so we've been able to make this interview happen.
Yep.
And so I appreciate you being available, being willing, and really just being here to kind of enlighten our guests, because I think that, you know, everybody who watched the show, they're at that state, you know, the space in their life where they're watching this show because they want to get to that next level. And one of your specialties is helping people scale, like get to that next level, right?
Yep.
And so we're going to talk about that. But before we get started, for those who don't know, who is Tommy Powers?
Hey, my mama named me Tommy Powers. I'm named after my daddy, originally from Mississippi. Moved to Atlanta probably like 22 years ago, 22, like 2000. By 2007, I ended up getting into the digital space. I had dabbed around. I mean, I've been a hustler all my life. I cut grass, cut hair, sold candy at school. Like, I done had a gazillion ways to get to it, right? But 2007 for me was pivotal because I had heart failure in 2007.
Oh, wow.
And so that really kind of put me in a space where I had to really kind of figure out what my move was going to be. I had two kids at the time. I was already married by then, and we ended up having another child after that, but I couldn't go back and work like in management jobs, the stress and everything like that. So I always knew this internet thing was something. So I just was like, I'm gonna take it serious no matter what. I feel like my back was up against the wall. So it's like, it's boom or bust. Mm. Like, I'm gonna make this work one way or the other.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what I started doing, just putting my all into it, failing miserably. But 2008, man, I ended up landing on affiliate marketing, and my challenge was getting traffic. At this time, I didn't know this language. I just know I had affiliate links, and I need to get more people going through them. So these forums, people would say, well, you need to get more traffic. It's like, cool, how do I do that? And one guy, he was making a lot of sense. Because you know how people give you advice, and it's like, I don't know if that makes sense to me. But this one guy was like, you know, you can buy ads on Google and you can send them through your affiliate link.
Mm.
And there's a guy named Chris Carpenter. He sells this book called Google Cash, and it'll teach you. So I ended up buying this book. It's like 40 pages. I read it in probably like 2 hours, an hour or something, right? And it just clicked for me. And I started doing Google ads. 2008, I started hitting well on that, and that kind of like changed everything.
Wow.
So from that point on, it's like, all right, I'm going to stay in this lane. Like, I done hit on some. I knew digital was the future. So I'm like, I'm going to ride this way till the wheels fall off. And so I've just been in the lane ever since.
And when did you know that, like, YouTube was it? Like, videos was it?
I tell this story quite a few times, but it was probably like 2011, 2012. Like somewhere around in there, because I bought my first ad on YouTube in 2012. Mm. But I was reading an article one night, and it was like, TV is gonna be on the internet.
Mm.
And at the time, you know, me being in the space, and I'm a student of the game, right? If I decide I'm gonna do something, I'm very competitive, so I play sports and all of that, right? So if I'm gonna do something, I'm gonna I'm gonna try to be the best at it. I'm gonna study the whole thing. And I knew that TV was the biggest thing smoking at that time. Mm-hmm. It was the biggest advertising platform ever created at that point. But this article was making an argument that that's gonna translate to the internet. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't shake it. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, if that's true, then what does that mean for what I'm doing? Because I'm already in this digital advertising space, you know, whatever the case may be. If it's going to be on the internet, then what does that mean? So I think I probably need to get out in front of this because I just couldn't shake it. Like, it was just one of them things where I just couldn't shake it. So that kind of led me to being like, well, if I'm going to get out in front of this, where should I go? Like, what's the move? Like, I ain't know. Like, nobody was doing this at the time. So me just looking into it weeks and weeks and weeks, and then I'm looking at YouTube, and at first it didn't click, but after like a while, it was like, wait, Google owns them. Google is already a publicly traded company. Google is probably already worth, you know, billions, tens, maybe even 100 billion by then. Even back then, Google was already worth like crazy billions. Google already had a lobbyist in Washington. And, you know, I'm looking at all of these factors and saying, like, okay, if anybody gonna win at this, Google is probably going to. And since they own this, this probably where it's gonna be at. So let me get out in front of this. So let me start playing around with it. Yeah. So 2012, I just started playing around with it because I wanted to kind of get out in front of this wave that I thought was way out, but it just was like, that's kind of how I landed on it. And so I just started tinkering around, just saying, when the time come, I'm already going to be kind of ahead of the curve.
And so having generated over $550 million, can you remember that first like success that you had with YouTube ads that said, that made you feel like, yo, I am him, man. Him Duncan.
I don't know if I said I'm him, but I remember the first time we did it. It was this guy, Kevin Kurganski. Shout out, Kevin. We still good friends to this day. We changed each other's lives. Yeah. Kevin at the time had a product called The Breakup Doctor. And we was working together to run ads across, you know, other things that we were doing. But he was using something called a VSL, a video sales letter. It was an hour and 10 minute long, and it converted like really well, but his business was kind of sputtering. It wasn't really cranking like that. So that's kind of why he had reached out to me at that time to kind of help him, you know, start buying ads to kind of build a business out. And I just kept thinking like, man, we should just take this video and put it up on YouTube and just buy ads to it. And he was like, whatever you say, bro, like if you think it'll work, go for it. So he was the first guy, and I had gave some other people this idea, but then nobody want to move. He was like the first guy was like, hey man, if you think it'll work, if you sure you think it'll work, I was like, I ain't making no guarantees, but I think it'll work. He was like, whatever you say. And man, that thing took off. Like I remember days we was spending maybe like $900 doing like 10K. It was crazy, bro. It just took off, man. And so within 6 months, I mean, I think Kevin became a millionaire within 6 months from that. He was making like 5K a month or something at the time when I first started working him. And then maybe like when we started doing the YouTube ads, like month two, it was like 20K, and then it was 50K, and then it just was going. It was out of here after that. It was crazy. So that was changed.
What would you say what was the key to that success though? Like what makes a successful YouTube ad campaign?
To me, I think again, everything is timing, everything, you know, it's a lot of factors, right? But at that time, like no one was doing what we were doing. I actually saw an ad on a website that linked to a YouTube video, which sparked my idea of why would I buy an ad? Because I was buying ads on other people's websites through Google. That was kind of how I was making my bones back then. But I'm like, why don't they just buy the ad on YouTube to the video? Since the people on YouTube, show them the ad on the YouTube and take them to your YouTube video. So it just made sense to me. I couldn't find nobody else doing that, but it made sense to me. So I think it was one of them things where you just like first movers advantage. VSLs were hot at that time. Nobody, I don't know. It's just a lot of factors. I think it was a lot of factors in that.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And so you know, being in the landscape for such a long time, you know, obviously you have a lot of trial, a lot of errors, a lot of, you figured a lot right, but you've also got a lot right, right? Where do you see the digital ad space going in the future?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked that. I didn't know you was gonna hit that early, but you know, we talked about this yesterday. Mm-hmm. I believe that the convergence of organic and paid more than ever before is what we're up against. I think people who are buying ads, if they don't have an organic presence, their ads are not gonna work as well. Mm. And at some point, they're not gonna be able to compete. Wow. That's kind of where I see it going. So I think content, you know, essentially, I think all companies need to think of themselves as a media company, or they need to have a segment of their company that is for media from an advertising perspective, because they need to be producing content. Mm. And obviously, when you're scaling, you want to be buying ads as well. Mm-hmm. But in the digital space, I believe you're going to have to do both. I think they're going to, well, we already can see the data that they work hand in hand.
Right.
But I think it's going to get increasingly difficult for people who don't want to create and produce original organic content to go along with their paid marketing strategy. And kind of combine those together. That's where I see it going in the next maybe 5-10 years. That's going to be the predominant thing. Maybe even faster than that with AI right now. Everything's speeding up.
Yeah, so yeah.
Maybe we're talking about a couple of years.
And like, let's talk about at what, you know, space of your journey as an entrepreneur should you start buying ads, right? So I've been a full time entrepreneur. Or I've been an entrepreneur since 2009, right? And I've always like known about ads. I mean, obviously anybody who watches television knows that successful businesses use ads, but I don't know, for whatever reasons, as an entrepreneur, I never just thought it was something that I would do, right? So it took me like a full 9 years. Yeah. Like I didn't put my first ad out or pay for my first ad till 2018. 9 years of organic, just, you know, being like hitting the ground running. In fact, what wound up making me realize that I needed to jump into ads was one of my good friends, salute to Tiffany the Budgetista.
Yeah.
You know, we started out around the same time doing this financial education. And then, you know, salute to Jabril. She connected with Jabril.
That's crazy.
Right? And all of a sudden, she went from like, we were both struggling financial advisors, you know, financial educators trying to do, then all of a sudden she like, Ash, I made my first million. I'm like, well, you made your first what?
Yep.
Right? I'm still trying to make six figures as an entrepreneur. She like, she made her first million. And then watching where the Budgetista brand went, I said, oh my God. And then I knew like ads was that missing piece, and the connection that her and Jabril had kind of took to that next level. But I had to see that, right? And so at what level do you believe should you be getting into the ad game as an entrepreneur?
I think most people issue with ads when they start out is they haven't proven their thing sales. So to me, it's like you got to have something that sells. And I think, you know, organic, you can do joint ventures, you can do influencers. I mean, it's a lot of different ways you can kind of reach your audience.
Yeah.
But you need to know that your offer is sales. It converts. Can you, you know, even some people I know, I've had guys who, you know, they got the seven figures, just DMs on Instagram.
Right.
You know what I mean? And getting people into their funnel and getting it to convert. So, you know, to me, it's like, can you consistently sell is key number one. And then if that's true, then I think, you know, you should start exploring ads. The other thing about ads, though, is it's a numbers game. Mm-hmm. And for people who, you know, I know a lot of people say, you know, they don't like numbers or it scares them and things of that nature. And I get all of that, and I ain't mad at that. But it's like, if you're not going to get into the numbers, who you got on your team that knows that? Mm. Because you're not going to escape it. If you don't know your numbers, you're not going to be – if you don't understand the numbers in your business and you're trying to run ads – How are you going to make the math? How are you going to build your own math equation? Because that's all essentially you're doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know I'm making it sound easy. It's not as hard as it sounds. It's not as easy as it sounds, but it's simple in the fact that you're just trying to build your own math equation that work for your business.
Yeah.
But if you don't understand the variables, you don't understand the numbers associated with that equation as it relates to your business, how are you going to put ads in the mix to make the equation work? You see what I mean? Yeah. So that's the thing I think people don't do. So, you know, if you have something that's selling, you understand the numbers in your business, and you want to grow, I think you should experiment with ads, even if it's $5 a day. You don't have to start out, you know, spending millions of dollars. Even to this day, we don't start out the gate, you know, spending millions of dollars at the gate. We start out with, you know, a couple hundred dollars a day, $50 a day sometimes even, right? Mm-hmm. Just to kind of test and see what people are responding to. So those are kind of like the way I would look at it in terms of, you know, there's no exact answer, yeah. Right? It's really an individual circumstance. And some people understand that in order for their business to grow, they got to be willing to take risks.
Yeah.
And the thing about ads for me that I want to change people's mindset around is you're not losing money when you're buying ads and they don't work. You're buying data to figure out what don't work so that you don't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And then the more you test, eventually you'll find something that works and then you do more of it. So it's really a learning exercise of buying ads. A lot of people, they want to put the money in the ad. If it ain't working out the gate, it's like ads don't work, or they get frustrated or whatever the case may be. I mean, they come with the territory. You got to invest and you got to learn from what you gather to be able to get better and get better and get better. And so you got to be willing to take that risk.
And you know, we got different platforms now, right? So you like YouTube, Google, mm-hmm. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok now. I see Hulu is doing ads even. Yep. What, you know, in your estimation, is YouTube still the place that people need? Like, is that the top of the top, you know what I mean, top dog, you know?
I don't want to go so far out there and say top dog because, I mean, I'm probably biased. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think every business should be marketing on YouTube, mm-hmm. whether they're buying ads or whether they're producing content mm-hmm. or whether they're doing both.
Yeah,
I think every business, I don't care if you got a local ice cream shop, you can benefit from marketing on YouTube. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said it at the beginning of this thing. It's 2 billion people.
2 billion, facts, yeah.
Like, how many people even got internet access in the world? Like, if they got internet access, it's probably likely that they're using YouTube.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine all of them people in that 2-mile, 5-mile radius of you even, right? If you're a local business, like, them people sitting up in their houses mm-hmm. around you watching YouTube. So whether you're getting in front of them organically or you buying ads or both, I think every business should be on YouTube. It's just such a massive, massive platform. Like, it's hard to fathom how big it really is. But I think everybody that has a business and they want to grow it, they should market on there.
Yeah, yeah. And I, you know, I think, like, I've, you know, even when I go on YouTube, I see, you know, these, you know, lifestyle marketers yeah. or, you know, people who are showing their house, their Lambos, things of that nature. They're literally like holding up a phone
yeah.
in their backyard and yeah. they're doing their ad there. And I know a lot of like entrepreneurs like to be perfectionists. Like they yeah. like to, you know, get the lights and the cameras and all mm-hmm. that stuff. In your experience, does it matter what camera you have? Does lifestyle work better? Like what is the formula to YouTube?
You have to know your audience. Every audience don't need high production, you know, whatever. You can pull your phone out and record a video, upload it, and run it as an ad. Mm. Like, it's that simple, right? Yeah. You know, the formula is pretty basic. You know, there's a lot of variations of it, but most people are going to say a similar thing, you know, hook, message, call to action. I usually go a little bit further with that, where it's more like instead of a call to action, it's more like a compelling action. Mm. Like, how can you make someone feel compelled to do the thing you're asking them to do? Because when you say call to action, to me, that's a push thing. Right. It's like a pushy salesman. Mm. But when you do something, when you deliver it in a compelling way, now people will want to be attracted to what you're doing, right?
Yeah.
So, and there's obviously deeper psychology with that, But the hook is really like, how do you get people's attention?
Yeah.
You know, the message is, you know, essentially, what are you going to say to them that's going to keep them watching. And the call to action is the thing you want them to do. But like, can you actually compel people to actually do that? I think is what, you know, maybe most people don't really talk about. But that's kind of really the formula. And it could be, you know, a set like we in here. It could be, you know, just pulling out your mobile device. You know, however you get it done, it's all about the audience. And depending on your audience, for most audiences, you don't really need a high production, you know, circumstance. Unless you're going up like Corpus and things like that, you know, B2B, that kind of thing. But B2C, generally speaking, a mobile device and looking into the camera is a pretty good way to get a message out, to test and see if people are going to respond without breaking the bank.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah. No, I love that. And I, you know, I'm glad that you said that because, again, I think there's so many people who are just not starting because they feel like they don't have the right script. They don't have the right camera. They don't have the right, you know, fill in the blank where, you know, again, I've seen very successful people and ad campaigns that were literally a cell phone and somebody just talking into the cell phone, you know. And so, you know, for somebody who has been in the business for as long as you've been in the business, I know that, you know, 80% of it is mindset. 20% has to be the practical thing, but 80% of success is mindset. What is the mindset, the biggest mindset that changed the game for you?
I mean, for me, like 2015, a VC firm out of Silicon Valley reached out and wanted me to come, you know, mentor their portfolio companies. And it's just kind of like, you know, at the time, like they want me to talk about YouTube ads. I'm like, YouTube in Silicon Valley, right. What y'all calling me for? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it didn't really make sense. But I went, and I'm glad I did, right? Because it really changed everything for me. Because at first it was kind of like, you know, I'm just curious, like, why these people call me in little Douglasville, Georgia, in my basement? You know what I mean? Like, y'all building, like, literally the people, the company 500 Startups, one of the founders of 500 Startups is came from Google. So literally, like, they got friends that work still at Google, but they calling little old Tommy in Douglasville, Georgia. So I just thought that was wild, and I had to know why. And so being able to go there, what I realized pretty quick, you know, 500 Startups mindset was more like undervalued assets. Like, how do we find assets that are more valuable than what's being realized and then help it realize that value? And so essentially they would find people like me, you know, which pretty much a lot of us in the 500 world at that time were, you know, people who was out in the field doing the thing, like figuring it out with like no resources almost. It's like how do you in Douglasville, Georgia, figure out how to make millions of dollars with this platform when, you know, these people out here building it, they just building it. Right. They don't, you know, but y'all job is to build it and my job is to figure out how to take advantage of it. Right. So, you know, given that circumstance, that's kind of the energy of what it was. And so it made a lot of sense. And so for me, that exposure to that world, like, changed everything. It made me realize how small, first of all, it made me realize how small I was thinking. The second big shift for me was, in that experience, was the fact that, you know, realizing that I was an undervalued asset. Like not even understanding my own value. You know what I mean? Where, you know, sometimes you need external validation, which I wasn't looking for this now. I wasn't chasing that. They found me. I'm just doing my thing. But in the midst of that, you know, you accept the external validation and then that allows you to put more value on yourself. So that was huge for me, man. And so lots of other mindset shifts from that. But that was like a huge turning point for me that kind of changed a lot of things and kind of put me on a different mindset, a different trajectory, and just a bigger vision of things that I want to accomplish.
No, I love that you said that because, you know, I say this, you know, I have a mentor, but I have, you know, people that I mentor as well. So a lot of my mentees, I always tell them to borrow my belief.
Absolutely.
Right? Borrow my belief That's in good. Them because, you know, That's sometimes good. We're so close to something that we don't see it, right? Like, it's funny because, you know, this show and a lot of the other works, whether it's my books or things that I've done in the past, have given me exposure to a point where, you know, millions of people know who I am.
Yeah, that's
but
crazy.
In my head, I'm just Ash. Like, yeah, I'm like, I don't see myself the way other people see me. So sometimes there's this level of, like you said, outside validation that's required. Even you, like, like I see you and me, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of times, even when we first met, you know, I was like, you know, singing your praises, yeah, and I could tell, like, you know who you are, but you know, you're like, nah, I'm just Tommy. It's you know what I'm saying? But it's from the outside. Like, as soon as you walked in, I was like, yo. Like, in my head, I'm like, yo, that's Tommy.
And I didn't
like,
even know you knew who I was.
Right. But. You know what I'm saying? And so sometimes it's like this outside validation that is necessary.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that you can see it. And so one of your superpowers, if you will, you know, pun intended again, right?
Yeah.
Is your ability to scale a business.
Yeah.
Talk about that for a second.
I mean, little known thing, I probably talked about it here and there, but like when I was in high school, I was in the NASA Space Grant Program. Mm. And I didn't realize at the time what that was. This is years later. This is like after I'm doing what I'm doing, you know, ads and all of that, trying to make it make sense. But even back then, you know, I graduated high school like 94, so I'm giving my age out, whatever, right? You know, this is 93. Because I'm a junior in high school, and then my junior senior year and my freshman year in college, I was in this program. One of the primary reasons why I ended up being in that program is because they tested me and said that I had a unique ability to spot patterns and to, you know, my theory and predictions on what it meant were very, like, off the charts.
Mm.
But, like, bro, I ain't do nothing with that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Fast forward to doing this thing and trying to, like, understand, like, you know, what is it? What is my thing? Like, how am I, like, you know, trying to, like, formulate.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It or framework,
yeah,
process, what I do,
yeah,
right, to try to, especially like building a team, right, it's like, you doing it all, but like, can you translate that to other people,
right,
to get the result? So I'm kind of going through this, and that's kind of how I rediscovered that whole thing. And so, you know, that's really what it is, a data-driven decision-making, and it's rooted in pattern recognition, and then being able to understand what those patterns mean, you know, what to do about them.
Mm.
And then, you know, if it's good, let's do more of that. If it's not, let's stop doing that.
Mm.
And what happens is over time, you know, the wins mount.
Mm.
So initially, you know, you're going to probably like lose a lot.
Yeah.
Right. But what happens over time is, you know, you get fewer and fewer of those.
Mm.
And so that's all I'm really doing. I mean, it sounds pretty simple, but that's essentially the superpower, really what it is. And so traffic is a commodity.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy as much of it as your money. You know, Elon Musk can't even buy all the traffic on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
He the richest man in the world right now.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know, somebody might have overtook him, but like it's so much traffic online. Like traffic is a commodity. It's just like sugar or rice or any cereal or whatever you go buy at the store. You can buy as much of it as your money can buy, right?
Yeah.
But the data that we get from buying the traffic is what allows me to, you know, execute my superpower.
Yeah.
Because now I got all of this data. And I can start looking for the patterns in that. And then the experience layered on top of that, because I've seen so many things, the more experience that I have, the higher probability I understand, oh, I know what that pattern is right there.
Yeah.
We need to go crazy with that.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what that pattern is right there. We need to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what that pattern is right there. We got to keep going with that, but let's do it like this.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's essentially what it is.
Yeah. And so if I hear you correctly, it's almost like if you have the right amount of data from traffic, you could essentially create money, if you will.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. That's right. What people pay me to do.
Right. And I put it that way because it's almost like, you know, especially like the people who run away from data, the people who kind of say, well, I don't want to get into right. numbers, or numbers scare me, or whatever the case may be, right? You know, as the Honorable Sean Carter once said, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Yeah. Right. And so as you start to look at the data, right, like the data is not going to lie. Like, right. you know, like I do, you know, 5-day challenges a lot. And you know, me, Marvin, Storm, we know that if we do a challenge, on average, we're closing about 20-25%.
Yeah.
And so for us, like we've done challenges over and over and over again, and the numbers never change. It's always 20-25% of the people that we're closing. And so if we desire to make a certain amount of money, then now it's the numbers. Now, you know, we hire someone to help us with traffic, to bring people into our challenge, or bring people into our, you know, conference, something so that we could get those numbers. And then if we got 100 people, then we know we're closing 20-25%. If we got 1,000, if we got 2,000, and so the numbers are there. So it's almost for us a predictable model 100%. Of how much income that we want to make.
I mean, create is probably, it's probably more like you, it's like you just get better at spotting where it's hidden.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, abundance is your birthright, right? Sure. I believe in abundance. Like, the amount of money out here, like, we don't even understand, okay? Yeah. Like, being in that Silicon Valley world, like, being able to meet people who can write 20, 30, 50 million, $100 million checks because it's just, oh, this one of the things that we put money in, right. this little investment fund thing, that's like 5% of what they got, right? The amount of money out here is mind-boggling, but the data will allow you to spot where it exists. Mm. It's really more, I don't know if it's create, it's like on the other side of that data is human beings, right?
And I always
remind myself of that, you know, just a human version of you know, just being a good human, being a good Samaritan, being, you know, the way I was raised. On the other side of that data is human beings.
Yeah.
So in that data, not so much creating, but the ability to identify where it exists and then be able to go get that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Be able to go bring it in, serve the people, you know, abundantly in your service as well. And, you know, that's really what it is. So not so much create, but definitely being able to spot.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, when you know your numbers, you just, you know, 20-25%, we take what you sell for, we can do the math. We know then, okay, the average, you know, if you got 100 people, you sold 20 of them, let's say your thing is 5K, you just made 100,000 from 100 people, you know, the average person is worth $1,000 to you.
Right.
So, okay, now I can go out with that, armed with that information, and figure out how do I get more people to you for less than that number where it makes sense for your business.
Wow.
See how easier it is now for me to go? Because now when I'm buying ads, I'm not just spraying and praying.
Right.
I got a game plan. I got a strategy around what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right.
I know I need to get you somebody that you can close where the cost of getting you to those 100 people is going to be low enough where the difference between what you paid to get them there and what you're going to make is the profit you're going to need where your business is going to make sense.
Mm.
It's not really rocket science.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, people make it out to me, but
it ain't for you, but the way you just, like, you just spit those numbers out, I was like, wait, hold on. I know some of y'all are like, look, we got to rewind this.
He just... It's not rocket science, though, man. Yeah. It's just math, bro.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so talk to me about the Scaling Uncensored podcast.
So that's Scaling Uncensored. So our company, Next Level Ambitions, we launched that. Man, we started doing that like 2018, bro. We started doing like these little retreats and stuff, and then COVID hit.
Yeah.
So we was doing like these in-person joints. And that kind of like put a damper on that. And then, you know, my partners in that, we all got our own companies and everything like that. Actually, all of us probably got several different companies. And you know how I go with the whole, you know, with the whole situation. Absolutely. With that.
Yeah.
And, you know, fast forward after COVID, you know, we just decided like, hey, are we going to really get serious about this thing? If we are, like, we really need to get serious about it, or you know, maybe we ain't going to do it. Mm-hmm. And so we agreed that, yeah, we want to get serious about it. You know, it was a call in. We have a vision. And so the podcast is kind of part of what we're using to kind of push out and really, like, get outside, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. I see, you know, and all of my partners will agree, you know, we see just a lot of people being misinformed in the space, man, because people like us, you know, we behind the scenes, yeah. right? Like you said, like, you know, Julian, you know, having a mutual person that we work together with. So it's like, you know, vetting me is pretty easy because right. of y'all relationship. Absolutely. He can tell you how much money I made him, Absolutely. Right? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? So it's not like a, you know, but then you got like a lot of people who are saying things that, you know, some of them are just blatantly lying.
Yeah.
Some of them just don't know any better.
Yeah.
You know, somebody told me one time a fourth grader is a god to a third grader,
Ooh.
Which is cool.
Right.
Just like the whole, you know, one chapter ahead, which is cool. Mm. But what happened when I done read the chapter, I'm on the same page with you now.
Facts, yeah.
But you still taking bread from me, telling me you can take me here when me and you on the same page like, now. Ooh. So it's like, that's why we always say, like, it's levels to these levels. So right. what we want to be able to do is come from behind the scenes and get out in front and start educating and communicating, you know, and helping people, like, really understand and see what it takes to really scale.
Yeah.
And that's really what Next Level Ambitions is about. And the Scaling Uncensored podcast is just one of the ways that we're doing that. So I'm really, really excited about it, man.
And you know, you've been able to help businesses scale to like nine figures,
yeah,
right. And for those who don't know, right, because you know we talk seven figures a lot,
yeah.
which is, you know, 1 million to 9 million, man, seven yeah. figures, right. Yeah. When you talk eight figures, you're talking 10 million
to 99
to 99 million,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
When you talk nine figures,
yeah, it's another level.
Another level, yeah. man. There's levels to these
There's
levels.
Levels to these levels, man.
What does it take? Because that's you know, I have two ambitions. As an entrepreneur, I have an ambition to build a business that I'm going to sell. I'm going to exit
yeah.
at nine figures, right? So that's an ambition of mine. I then also, and this is just an ambition that I have, but I also want to run a billion-dollar company, but I want it to be public, though. I want to run a public billion-dollar company. So those are
talking my talk,
right? So in the business realm, those are my two ambitions. I want to build up a business, which I believe I have my Book Rich business. I believe may be the business that I'm able to exit at nine figures, right? But then again, want to run a because I've been a CEO before for a bank. My superpower is marketing and really
right.
kind of helping individuals or just businesses get the visibility mm-hmm. they need. And I feel like I can do that for a public company. So that's where I want to go with it.
It's hard.
What does it take to scale a business, to get a business to nine figures?
So game time, right? So we're gonna talk some game real quick. So let's be clear, when you say nine-figure business, what a lot of people think that they got to do is create nine figures a year in revenue.
Mm.
That's not actually true.
Mm.
You can actually exit a nine-figure business with eight figures in revenue.
Mm.
Matter of fact, one of my guys that I mentored, former client, his name Alex Becker, he just sold his business for like $110 million, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what his actual revenue is, but I know that he sold the company a multiple of the annual revenue.
Mm.
So if I had to guess, it was probably in the $20 million range, mm. right? So he's able to exit at nine figures
yep.
with $20 million a year in revenue.
Mm.
So that's first thing I want to clear up, because most of the time people say nine-figure business, they think they got to make all of this money.
Yeah.
Well, it all depends on what kind of business you're running,
yeah.
because businesses are exited, you know, an exit or a liquidity event is what that's called, right, where, you know, you're actually able to cash out from that exit, because you can also exit and not get no bread.
Right.
You might have to like work that money off.
Mm.
There's also people who sell businesses that do owner financing where they don't get a big bag up front, they get it over time.
Mm.
There's also something called an acqui-hire, where somebody will buy your business and then give you shares of their company to be able to take your team into their company. Like, it's a lot of ways to do it where you might not necessarily exit and walk away with a nine-figure bag, right?
Yep.
So I just wanted to clear those up. But essentially, if you wanted to exit at nine figures bag, you don't necessarily need nine figures in annual revenue. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it right there. Knowing the way to structure your business so that it gets the type of multiple that'll give you that outcome is a big one. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people probably don't really talk that game, but you know, you probably know what an SIC code is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there are literally, and you guys can go look this up, there are businesses that can that has, one has SIC code, and then another business has an SIC code, and they can have identical revenues, and one get a high valuation than the other one just based on how they're listed under the SIC code structure. Mm. So even that alone, I've seen companies leverage that and get a higher valuation multiple on their business just from that alone, right? Wow. So it's a lot of different factors in there, right? When you talk about the revenue generating, obviously, yeah, scaling, you're probably going to have to advertise. Like, it's going to be pretty hard to build a business. That'd be not impossible, but it's going to be pretty challenging if you're not buying advertising. Team building, I mean, essentially, like, to get to eight figures, I haven't seen anyone yet hit eight figures who wasn't able to build a solid team around them. But I have absolutely seen, including myself, darn near hit $1 million with just a
pure hustle,
straight hustle.
Hustle, yeah, yeah.
So you can get to seven figures, but to get to eight consistently,
100%.
You got to have a team.
Yeah.
And then to get to nine, you're going to need people. Everybody else, everybody on your C-suite probably got to be smarter than you. Bro. You know, they probably got to be smarter than you unless you like Elon or something like, but you know, because Elon pretty intelligent guy.
Yeah.
You know, and Elon worked too, bro. Like he get it in.
Yeah.
But Elon also got a lot of smart people on his team.
Yeah. Like,
Elon ain't building Teslas.
Right.
He coming up with the strategy, but he ain't the one actually building it. The guy who doing the engineering, he probably runs circles around him when it comes to that, right? So you're going to have like people who are at a whole different level than you when you start getting up in those levels. But that's what it's going to take. And I mean, look, we can go on and on and on. There's a lot of layers to scaling.
Yeah.
And then it's all about game planning too. So you're saying you want to do this. How do you, you know, what is your game plan that you're going to lay out?
Yeah.
Because what I've seen people do that have successfully been able to hit what you're saying you want to do, they had a plan for that.
Yeah.
They didn't just happenstance into that.
Yeah.
That was a plan that they was working.
Yeah.
So you really got to kind of lay down your plan of how you're going to get there. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So a lot of layers, man, but those are some tidbits.
And I love that, and I appreciate that, because that's like right around, you know, the thought process that I've had, because I've always said to people, you could hustle yourself six and seven figures, you know, like if you have an idea, you focus and you grind it out, like you could hit that mark. Yeah. But if you want to get, like you said, consistent seven figures, consistent eight figures. You have to build a team. You have to have, right, I call it the do, document, delegate, the 3 D's, right? Yeah. You have to be able to, have somebody who knows how to do it. Have that person document the process, that SOP, that standard operation procedures,
yes, sir,
is very important.
Bars.
And then, right? And then the delegation.
Bars.
Right? Somebody able to tell people how to do the thing, right? Because, you know, you think the person who knows how to do it is the one that gets paid the most.
Correct.
Which is it's not true. False.
That's right? Super false.
All of the doers get paid the least.
Yep.
It's the strategists. It's the people that know why stuff needs to be done. The people who could delegate, the people who could tell people, all right, this is the goal, the visionary.
Leaders.
Right,
the leaders. Visionary, right. The people who can lead. Yeah.
Yeah, you know. And so to that point, though, too, you know, and I love that you said this, because this is where I'm at with it, is understanding that I need to hire people who are smarter than me, right, to be able to get to that nine figures. How do you... Like, what's that mindset like, right? Because, like, I'll give you an example. You know, I started out my banking career when I was 19 years old. By 24, I was a VP at one of the largest financial institutions in the world. and I was tasked with managing people that were like twice my age, right? Wow. So the oldest banker I had was like 56 years old. I'm a 24-year-old black kid, actually. And I got this white guy, this white man. I know his name, but I want to say his name because I remember his name. He has such a unique name that I remember his name. But he was a white 56-year-old man that I was in, like, it was hell.
Yeah.
So he lived in Westchester County. He had his Mercedes-Benz. I remember your name. He was hell to me.
I believe it.
Right? Because here's this young inner city kid who I'm smart, I'm ambitious, I can hustle. I'm there, I'm the first one there, last one leaving. The bosses up top knew I got busy. I get the results, and they said, you're getting promoted, but they gave me that hard time. How do you overcome, or how do you get to that space where you could hire people who are smarter than you, who probably know they're smarter than you, and be able to like effectively run that team?
Man, hey, you know, I've seen it happen, and then obviously in practice, you know, doing it, you know, myself. You know, the biggest challenge for me has been, you know, one of the things I had to overcome, you know, maybe like 2 years ago was, like, are you willing to pay somebody in your business more than you pay yourself?
Ooh.
Like, I wasn't. Mm. But I realized that was a mindset that was crippling me, right? Because I still own the asset.
Oh, that's good.
You know, selling people on your vision. Mm. Like, if people believe in what you're doing and you can compensate them competitively, like, they'll come rock with you. Mm. You know what I mean? That's like a big one, man. Just like, what is the vision of what you're doing? Like, can you communicate the vision of what you're building to people successfully and get them to buy in? Mm. That's a whole different level. That's something that I'm working on as we speak.
Wow.
Because if people don't believe in where you're going, like people like that, people that got options, we're talking about the top tier talent.
Yeah.
They got options.
Yeah.
That's why they top tier.
100%.
Why are they gonna choose you? Mm. And if you can't communicate that vision to them where they can see themselves attached to where you're going and see the value that they're going to receive in exchange for that versus everything else they're going to do. You know, some of them, it might not necessarily be about the money. They might take a little bit less pay for a little bit of equity, a lower salary because they believe in this, or maybe they think this is a rocket ship or whatever the case may be. But your ability to really sell that vision is critical. And then your ability to actually lead people, you know, is a whole other thing, man, which for me, you know, has been probably the biggest growth that I've had as an entrepreneur in the last 4 or 5 years is this leadership. It's just really getting tight on that. And now the what I'm working on is just the visionary side.
Yeah.
You know, just being a stronger in my vision and you know, just steadfast in it as well. Because, like, people, you know, A player talent ain't stupid.
Right.
Like, they can read your body language and know you don't believe that shit you said. Excuse my
language. Nah, you good.
Oh, I'm about to say, because I'll drop one. They can read your body language and know you don't believe what you're saying.
Right.
So, like, do you have conviction in your vision?
Right.
As well, right? Because you can have a vision, but then if you don't have conviction in it, it's going to be hard for other, you know, other people just not going to buy.
Yeah.
Going to buy that. So, but the whole thing that held me back, man, I had got to a point where I was like, you know, not wanting people in my company to make more than I pay myself. I don't even know where that mindset came from, bro.
Right.
But one day I just had to address it, and I'm like, called a buddy of mine up, and I was like, I think I'm tripping.
Right.
Da 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 da. I'm telling him what it is. He was like, you tripping.
Right. Because you own the asset.
You own the asset.
Right.
What difference do it make?
Does it make? Yeah. Especially because as that smart person builds it up, they're building that equity and the asset that you own.
How much more value are they going to create for your asset for whatever you're paying them? Forget about them making more than you making. But believe it or not, man, I've had this conversation since then with several people. And people probably won't talk about this, but I've had conversations with other people who say that they've had that thought before. They struggle with that. that type of thinking, which is interesting. Yeah. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, you know. And you're right, because even as I think about it, I'm like, that's probably when I think from a talent perspective, that's probably why I haven't hired, you know, the top of the top.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, even just coming from corporate or being around, like, I know some really smart people that I know I could pay them more than what they're getting paid in their corporate job.
Right.
I know I could be like, yo, listen, I got a X amount, and knowing how talented they are and what they could do and what and where they could take my business. But in my head, I'm like, I'm not paying myself this. Right?
But it's crazy because I can, but you said you can.
I can, right.
It was the same thing. I can, but right. I didn't want to.
Right.
I'm holding my own self back. I'm holding my own business back.
Wow. That's a
so I had to kind of overcome that because I had to really get crystal clear on what does it take to build a real, you know, something big where you're selling a vision, but you're getting buy-in from people who believe in your vision, and you're hiring talent at that level, and being able to have a competitive, you know what I'm saying? Because the people ain't gonna take peanuts from what they're getting.
Right.
They might come down a little bit, but you're gonna have to go out there and compete. These people got options. Absolutely. Why are you the person for them to choose over all the other options that they got?
Right.
But you don't want them to make more
than
you.
Exactly. Exactly.
When this person could, the difference between you hiring a B player and an A player could be $20 million in your valuation. Right. Remember, your valuation is a multiple of your revenue.
Right. Yeah.
So if this person come in and take your business from $2 million to $10
million,
and you getting a 5X multiple, you got a $50 million company now. Mm. If a B player come in and take you from 2 to 4, you got a $20 million company now. But you tripping about how much more you got to pay this person.
Right.
So instead, you're going to get a B player because you don't want to pay the A player because they're going to make more than you.
Wow.
It's kind of stupid when I think back on it now, but I was struggling with that, man. Mm. I had to come to terms with that.
Wow.
It's like stuff like that. It's kind of wild, right?
Yeah. And you know, it's funny because that's why I say, like, business is like 80% mindset. Right,
I think it's like 90.
Right, it might be 90, right? Because when you think about the type of mindset you have to get to that next level, and that's why when you see, you know, people who get to that billion dollar status, like that ain't a light feat. Like that, like that takes work. That takes mental strategy. There's a lot of pieces that you gotta move, in order to kind of get to that space.
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you think about the trajectory of where Tommy Powers is going. Yeah. What does the future look like for Tommy Powers?
Long term, I will be in the cannabis space. Mm. I'm already working on that. I've made some investments in that space. I invested in a hemp farm here in Georgia. They're vertically integrated. We have some issues there, but you know we're going to work through that. But that's something that's probably like a 10-year goal for me. That's something I always wanted to do. Even when I was growing up, like, you know, my homeboy in Mississippi now, you know, he was growing plants in a closet in his mama's house when we was in, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he always had the green thumb. We always knew, like, one day when this business is legal, there's no way we're not going to make money legally. When it becomes legal, it's impossible for us to make money in it. So we want to build a vertically integrated brand. That's probably like a 10-year thing.
Yeah, okay.
Probably my 5-year goal and next level ambitions is more like my 5-year goal where, you know, we want to build that. We want to basically push out a lot of content, produce more content, build systems and programs to kind of help more, especially people that look like us who, you know, me being able to access like the Silicon Valley world or like my partner Kai who was in the investment banking world, It ain't a lot of us out there in that. It wasn't a lot of us in those spaces.
Right.
So the things that we've been exposed to, a lot of people that look like us ain't getting exposed to. Mm-hmm. So if we're not bringing that back to the community and sharing that, how are we going to get the game?
Yeah.
So that's a big part of what we're doing there. So that's kind of like the 5-year vision. And really now just kind of coming from behind the scenes, getting off of the agency thing. You know, obviously we still do consulting and coaching and all of that, but a lot of what I've done now, you know, in my past have been, you know, being on the opposite side of the table of the person who owned the asset. Mm-hmm. And the last 3 or 4 years, I've been really focused on moving on the asset side of the table. So nice. That's kind of really what I'm doing now, focused on building my own brands, building my own asset, leveraging my skill set. Yeah. But boy, I tell you, I be forgetting some of the stuff that my clients had to deal with because I ain't have to deal with. Mm-hmm. I'm just over here, we running the ads mm-hmm. or building the funnel or whatever we doing. We ain't having to deal with all of the nonsense going on, the infighting, people falling out with each other, merchant processes shutting you down, customer service, all of these different things that now, you know, we having to bite off. So definitely getting the MBA and all of that last few years. But that's kind of my focus now, man, just moving on the asset side of the table, building assets. Yep.
All right, y'all, man. The living legend, Tommy Powers, man.
I take that.
Man, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate all that you shared here. A lot of great information, man. So like I said earlier, like I'm naturally curious. You gave me a lot to think about, a lot to adjust as I think about that next level. And where I'm going. There's a lot to think about and a lot to kind of readjust. And that's the beauty of entrepreneurship. You know, it's like once you reach a certain milestone, you understand that there's still more to go.
Yeah.
Right. Like I remember, you know, just wanting to make six figures. Like I remember the first time I made six figures as an entrepreneur, I was like,
yo.
And I remember I looked at my tax return, I was like, $105,000. I was
here.
I made it.
I'm here.
You know, and now I'm paying out of taxes now.
For real.
Now I'm like, first seven figures. Like I remember these milestones, and they're special moments, but each step of the way you become somebody different.
Yep.
Right? The same Ash that made the first six figures is not the Ash that made seven figures. Yep. Not the Ash who made eight figures. Yep. And I'm pretty sure, you know, when I get to nine figures, I have to change. I have to become somebody different. When I become a CEO, right, and run a billion-dollar public company, I gotta be, you know, have to be somebody different. So I appreciate you, brother.
Same, bro.
For those who want to connect with you, they want to listen to the podcast, all of that stuff, where can they find you?
So the podcast is Scaling Uncensored with Next Level Ambitions. You can find it on all platforms, wherever you listen to podcasts. And then me, my name, Tommy Powers. I go by Tommy Traffic, Tommy with the IE. I'm at Tommy Traffic, you know, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, all of the places. I'm at Tommy Traffic.
All right, y'all. We are closing out the vault. Another awesome episode of Inside the Vault with Ash Cash, the greatest money mindset show on the planet. Make sure you follow us on all social media platforms at Inside the Vault. Visit our website, InsideTheVaultShow.com. Me, I am Ash Cash. Make sure you visit me, IamAshCash.com. Follow me on all social media platforms at I am Ash Cash, and make sure you become a member of the Abundance Community. We got some more behind-the-scenes tips from Tommy Traffic, a.k.a. or Tommy Powers, a.k.a. Tommy Traffic. You got some behind-the-scenes info, so make sure you join the community, abundancecommunity.org. Thank you, insiders. I appreciate you. Thank you for making us number one. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for liking. Thank you for reviewing. Thank you. And I wish I could say thank you in the 26 countries that we're in and counting, but you get the sentiment. I appreciate y'all. I will see y'all next time, same place, in God's will. All right, y'all. Peace.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.